What Frenzy Dictates by Evangeline. Read by Cookie Mom 6067. John took a seat at an empty table and set down his tray. Rush hour in the mess had already gone by, and there were only a few personnel left lingering after lunch, picking at dry cakes and slices of bitter Athosian fruits. He knew most of them only by face, save for Lorne and the botanist who the major occasionally escorted off-world, Parrish, sitting nearby. His second-in-command had that half-smile playing on the corners of his lips, eyes trained on the scientist who was explaining the responsibilities that came with nursing a seedling, his gestures earnest and tone austere. Lorne reached for the pear equivalent on Parrish's plate and popped it in his mouth. "I solemnly swear not to kill your cactus while you're away on the mainland." "It's not a cactus," Parrish sighed, half-heartedly trying to defend his dessert before giving up and pushing his plate toward Lorne. "We haven't named it yet. Just don't get all water-happy with this one as well, because it'll get prickly and might refuse to bloom come spring." "Prickly?" Lorne asked, raising an eyebrow. "Was that a pun?" Parrish blushed and took a long sip of his water. "Well, it grows needle-like protrusions when it's angry," he mumbled at the table. "Prickleus principessus," suggested Lorne, stuffing the rest of the fruit in his mouth, his amusement entirely evident in the upward slant of his lips even as he chewed. Parrish rolled his eyes. "I'll keep it in mind," he said, chuckling. Rodney chose that moment to appear in front of John, setting his tray down with a small clatter, cutting off John's view of the other men while already halfway into a speech about local produce and quality control. "I mean, it looks like a pear, but it tastes like a raw, bitter melon, and I don't even like those cooked. Desserts are supposed to be sweet, but apparently that concept is lost on these people. What do I have to do to get a satisfying meal around here? I'm not even that picky. Give me toast with peanut butter and sugar and I'm happy. What are you doing?" John's hand was met with a smack as he reached out toward Rodney's plate. He pulled it back and rubbed it defensively. "I thought you didn't want it." And it was a feat of theatrics that he only sounded half as incredulous as he actually was. "It's edible, isn't it?" Rodney scoffed, as though John might have had a few too many hits to the head on recent missions. John looked around and found that Major Lorne and Dr. Parrish had gone ahead and that nobody was in hearing range. He leaned forward and asked, "If I really wanted that fruit, would you give it to me?" Rodney reflexively hoarded his plate closer to himself and stammered, Why are you asking this? There's tons more at the dessert bar." "It's a simple question, Rodney," John pressed. "Answer it." Rodney blinked at him, then frowned. "If you want me to get one for you, just say so. You'll just have to wait until I get back up for seconds." John leaned back and released the breath he'd been unwittingly holding, his shoulders drooping slightly as he deflated. "Never mind." "Are we back in Antarctica?" John asked, walking into the north wing control room with his arms crossed for warmth. "No. But we have reverted back to juvenile delinquency, it would seem," Rodney spat from underneath the console. "Someone thought it'd be ingenious to take the whole scientist versus military rivalry to a personal level and freeze the Marines to death in their quarters. Only this person seems to have been born with half a brain and not enough guts to see this through, and now I'm left to deal with this botched-up excuse for a prank. And damn it, my ass is an icicle on this floor." He snapped his fingers. "Give me those pliers." John sat down on the floor and leaned against the console as he handed Rodney the tools. He'd postponed armory inventory and let his men go to warmer sections of the city to wait the current problem out. Dressed in his usual black t-shirt and pants, he couldn't help but shake his head at Rodney's griping. The man must have been wearing three layers underneath his navy blue jacket. Lorne walked into the room, with Parrish in tow. This seems to be the only affected section, sir. It's been evacuated, just in case. John nodded. What brings you here, Dr. Parrish? The plants, he smiled, gesturing to the corners of the room. I brought them in here a couple of months ago, but I should take them back to the greenhouses for the time being. They won't survive these temperatures. Rodney snorted and mumbled. What use are plants here anyway? In a volume he clearly thought was only audible to himself. They are for aesthetic value, Parrish sniffed, and added in a stage murmur as he stalked toward the nearest potted plant. Not that you'd know anything about that. John and Lorne exchanged glances, and the latter moved toward Parrish, whispering placating words before adding, I'll help you. The botanist seemed to relax, and said thanks with a slight shiver. John watched Lorne shrug off his coat without a second thought and put it across Parrish's back as he took a potted plant into his arms. Carrying two pots each, they started toward the nearest transporter. We'll be back for the rest, Lorne called over his shoulder. John took a long, slow breath, then said, It sure is cold in here. Rodney made a strangled noise, amplified by the echo of the metal surrounding him. Really, Colonel, your powers of observation are staggering. John pressed his knee to Rodney's, whose legs were sticking out from underneath the console. You're wearing four layers. I know, I'll catch my death. I'm too important to the mission and so on, Rodney muttered, ever the long-suffering martyr. Oh, hey, he called, sudden realization thick in his voice. And John peered through the legs of the console to find Rodney fixing him with a hopeful gaze. Are you offering to get my other jacket? John's mouth dropped open, and he tried to respond, but nothing that came to mind would suffice. After a minute, he stood up and strode out of the room without a sound, with Rodney calling, Thanks, behind his back. Rodney was stuffing his mouth with mashed potatoes in front of his laptop when John walked into his lab. The colonel looked down at the takeout box in his hands, which he'd grabbed on his way out of the mess after dinner, and tossed it haphazardly in front of the scientist. I thought you'd forgotten to eat again. Are you kidding? It was steak tonight. We only ever get that when the chef's getting laid, chuckled Rodney, clearing his plate with the last forkful of potatoes. John sat on the other side of the workstation. Really? He drawled in a manner that encouraged elaboration. So Chuck says, said Rodney, as though that was all the explanation anyone needed. At John's blank stare, he sighed and slowly enunciated. Gate techs know all the good gossip. They do? Asked John carefully. They've got a lot of time on their hands, Rodney said distractedly before bursting out with a loud laugh that flushed his face and mesmerized John. Rodney kept his gaze on his laptop screen and began to type furiously as a wicked grin tugged at the corner of his lips. After a few more bouts of tapping on the keyboard, he tore his bright eyes away from the screen and said, Chuck says hi. John fought the very strong urge to stomp his foot. That what you've been doing all night, chatting with the gate tech? Rodney frowned and put on a contrary little pout. I'm allowed to take breaks. I never said, John began, but he stopped, took a breath, and found his center, in which his power animal resided, a pretty pony that told him to slide. He let the moment pass. Look, do you want to watch something tonight? I am, Rodney said cheerfully, finishing his coffee in one go. Chuck has all the latest NHL season burned on discs. We're having a Leafs party. That was when Chuck strode into the room, letting his eyes roam up and down Rodney's back audaciously, raising his eyebrow at John as though daring him to say anything. I'd invite you, Colonel, but word on the streets that you prefer guys in tights dancing around goalposts. That's what football players do when they score a touchdown, right? Me, I prefer hard sticks pounding on the ice, players body-checking each other into the boards. Rough stuff. Chuck shrugged, resting his hands on Rodney's shoulders, who turned to grin up at him. It's a man thing. It took all of John's practiced will not to hurdle himself at the gate tech at that moment, but he knew he wouldn't be able to hold back for much longer. "I have strawberries," he ground out at Rodney, who was looking from John to Chuck with a very confused air. Rodney sputtered. "You had this all along, and you didn't say a word when I was bitching about fruit earlier?" "I was saving them for tonight," John growled, his whole body growing rigid and shaking at the sight of Chuck massaging Rodney's back, whispering soothing nonsense. Rodney was beginning to come undone beneath Chuck's manipulative hands, and he could barely look questioningly at John and ask, "What's going on here?" His eyelids were fluttering, and his breath was coming in quicker, shallow gasps. Chuck fixed John with an impudent look, then did something with his thumb that made Rodney moan. John snapped and took Chuck down. "You could have just told me you were jealous," Rodney sighed, gingerly dabbing John's bruised cheek with an ice pack wrapped in a towel. "I wasn't jealous of just him, you know," John hissed, wincing at the pressure on the sensitive patch of skin. "I envied the other couples who shared their food and clothing and other stuff with each other. It's the small things." Rodney flushed. "I didn't even know we were a couple. You never told me." John gawked, then made a face at the pain it caused. "I kissed you. You kissed me back," he said, lowering his voice, as though reports of his jealous rage hadn't already infiltrated to the furthest reaches of the city, perhaps even the mainland. "I didn't realize that meant anything to you," Rodney said, scoffing. At the flash of hurt that crossed John's face, he added, "I just thought it was the wine at the feast, and we're always saying that what happens off-world stays there, and I didn't think you really liked me that way." "Shut up, Rodney. I like you that way," John said, sounding weary and defeated and feeling 10 times worse. He wished he could have some ice cream. It was the only thing that couldn't possibly make his day get any worse. Rodney tilted John's chin up and brushed their lips together. He pulled back just enough to murmur, "You shut up," their lips ghosting over each other. Rodney pulled John in deeper, feeling and tasting and breathing him in. "Better than ice cream," John panted, heady and hungry for more. "I have some," Rodney grinned. "You can have it all." The end.